Got to start my timer. 2 hours. Now they have a hook back here just for those cases. All right. So, know God and know yourself. God wants to be known. I want to go to John 17, says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. There have been plenty of times in my marriage when Michelle has gone shopping, you know, JCPenney's, Target, those high-dollar places, and she comes back home and she'll have a shirt for me or something that I like, or, you know, she'll have something that she found, a belt, whatever it is. Over the years, it's been pretty amazing how she comes home with stuff that I like. Or she'll go to the supermarket and she'll come home with something that I need because she knows me. She knows me. She knows what I like. She knows what I'm needing at that time, whether it be shampoo, whatever. She doesn't ever get me shampoo, but, you know, fill in the blanks. But she knows me, and she knows a lot about me. She knows me deeply, you know. She'll think of things that other people wouldn't think of, that other people have no business knowing. And she'll be there, and it's a sign to me that she knows me. And on my end, for years now, I would leave the house in the mornings on my way to work, and before I go, I would leave a note for Michelle. I would put a scripture down, or maybe a thought that God had shared with me, and I would share it with her. And a lot of times it would just be a little love note. But I would try to do it every morning, during the week, and sometimes the note would say, I love you, Squeezy, have a great day. Or maybe it would have, you know, say, I love my Preciosa. You know, she seems to be a little bit fond of that word when I call her mi Preciosa. You know, but I know these things about her. And lately, it's been mostly text messages. I'll send her the emojis with the chickens that are hatching, you know, and I'll say, I love you, my little chickadee. But, I wasn't really sure that I was having the impact. Here and now, here and again, I would have a hint that she liked it, that it was important to her. But the other day, like last week or something, I didn't do it. I didn't send her a text or anything like that. And I got caught up in my day, and I never got around to it. Well, in the afternoon, she says to me, she goes, hey, what happened? I didn't get my note. And, you know, that blessed my heart, actually, because it let me know that I'm hitting the mark, that I do actually know what she likes. And, you know, we all want to be known that way. And you have your own stories of people that you care about doing things that show they really know you, right? There's part of us, we want to be known. We want to be known. Most of us, to a certain degree, we want to be known by people who love us, people who care about us, people we care about. We want to be known. And why are we like that? Why do we want to be known? It's not neediness. It's not a flaw in our nature. It's not weakness to want to be known. We're like that because we are born for connection. We are wired for companionship. We long for fellowship because we are wired that way by our Creator. God made the heavens and the earth. He fashioned Adam in his image. Then he said it's not good for man to be alone. We are wired for fellowship, for companionship. whether you're an introvert, extrovert, you're bold, you're timid, saved, unsaved, you're made in the image of God, and because of that, we really want to be known. And we want to be loved. We want to experience love as well. And it's because of the one who made us in his image. There's a saying that goes, like father, like son. Like father, like daughter. Because you're made in the image of God, I suggest to you, that's why you have that longing for fellowship, connection. You're wired that way because God wants to be known. God is a social being. Why do you think the first commandment says you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength? Not the first commandment, the most important commandment, Jesus said. He said, why do you think the first commandment is that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself? Why would that matter if God did not want to be known? Why do you think he preserved his word? He gave us his word so that we could know him. So that we could see the characteristics, so that we could see his dealings, his workings throughout history. He gave us his word because it speaks directly to our hearts, to how we're made. Why would he do that? Why would he? And that word, that Bible that you carry around, that has been the subject of much persecution. Throughout the centuries, they've tried to burn that book out of existence. They've tried to get rid of the Word of God in any way they could. But God preserved it because he wants to be known. One reason, today's reason is because he wants to be known. Why would he draw up a salvation plan that included donating his best if he wasn't after connection? Why would he do that? Take away the wall of sin so that there's nothing between us. He did that for connection. God wants to be known. He wants connection. He wants to be known immediately, intimately. He wants to be known specifically. He wants us to know him, how he thinks, how he feels, and what he wants. Not just by what he does. Not just for his attributes. We can memorize the attributes. Holiness. He is goodness. He's mercy. Omniscient. Omnipotent. Omnipresent. He's the God of justice. He's Jehovah Rapha, the healer. He's the God of all righteousness. He's all of those things, and we can memorize them. We can know them academically. You know, I've known these things for years. How much it's helped me to know him, I couldn't say. We can live our life just at that level of information, genuinely appreciating what he does and who he shows he is, but we can live at that level of information. But he wants the experience. He wants the encounter. You think you want encounters? He wants encounters. You want encounters because he's made that way. He's made you that way. Why would he give you a hunger for something he wasn't going to supply? Does anybody want to know God here? Why would he give you that hunger unless he means to satisfy it? What did Jesus say? He said, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. He didn't say those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be ignored or they'll be strung along until they get tired and impatient. He says those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. That righteousness is God. That righteousness is the kingdom. And if that's what God wants, I want it too. If that's what God wants, you want it too. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24 says, let him who boasts boast in this. This is God speaking. Let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. Let's read that out loud together. Ready? Let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. See that word know, when it says he and knows me, that word know is yada. Say that out loud, yada. That word is Hebrew for to know, recognize, understand, be respected, be well known. The word can range from just information to intimacy. Including physical relations. But now, before we get too extreme, we can easily see by this that God's heart is a desire for connection. He wants to be known. He wants to be known as he is, for who he is, for how he is. If this feels a little too personal when talking about God, maybe it's because, maybe it's a religious upbringing. Maybe it's our religious fabric that we've kind of thought of God as this, an absentee father sometimes. You know, and I don't know if it's still around, but there was a theology called deism. And I believe Ben Franklin was part of it, but deism taught, one of its tenets was that God just set the world in motion and he stepped back. And he's not involved in day-to-day affairs. He just set it in motion like a clock. But God will argue with that. He wants to be known. He wants to be personally involved. God wants to be known to the point where we abide in him and he abides in us. John 15:17 says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. What's the point? It's not bearing fruit. The point is abiding. What God is after is abiding, remaining in him, knowing him. Can you say God wants to be known? God wants to be known. He wants us to abide in him. He wants to be known to the point where we abide in him and he abides in us. God wants to be known to the point where we are one with him. John chapter 17 says, that all of them may be one, Father, this is Jesus speaking, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. God's looking for us to be one with him. That sounds extreme. Can you really grasp that? But that's what he's after. That's what Jesus says in his prayer, that they may be one in me. God wants to be known to the point where he can call us friends. And because God always takes the initiative, he always takes the initiative. He makes the first move. In John 15, Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. God wants to be known by us so much that he wants to be calling us friends. He wants to call us friends. He wants friendship. He wants fellowship. Is that too heavy? If that's what he wants, I want it too. Your purpose, your role, your privilege in life is not to be a servant, downcast, barely scraping by, just a beast of burden. Your role is to be a friend. My role is to be a friend. One that is moved by the same things that God is moved by. One that is that follows and pursues the same causes, the same passions. That's what friends do, and that's what God is after. If it seems too casual to be talking about God as a friend, well, you got a problem with the word, not me. Jesus said, I call you friends. I remember we were in a class one day. It was a life-changing moment. We were prophesying over each other. They're giving each other different words. And a wonderful sister here, she turned to me and she said, God calls you friend. And it's almost like it came out of nowhere, but it came out of heaven because it touched me. You know when something's got God on it, it's when it touches you, when it washes you. Friendship. God's after fellowship. He's after connection. He wants to be known. That's what he's after. That's how much God wants to be known. I'm not minimizing his sovereignty. I'm not taking away obedience. I'm not trying to cancel the fear of God. Because a friend has great reverence for the things that his friend has. A friend can have great reverence. It doesn't have to be a familiar thing like we know it. Like we get familiar with somebody and we start treating them casually. That's not us. I'm not trying to cancel the fear of God. I'm not trying to minimize how great and sovereign and awesome he is. I'm simply making a request on behalf of a friend. Will you come to know me? Will you lean in? John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at that last day. You are counted in that number. You couldn't come to God unless you were drawn. You couldn't come to God without that personal invitation. Is there anything more significant than being drawn by God? There is no greater invitation but the invitation to know God. And it's personal. You may have stood in a crowd at some altar with people bumping into you and the preacher says, all right, invite the Lord into your heart, and it's just like a cattle call. But you know what? It wasn't. It wasn't a group hug. It was a personal invitation. It was intentional. God sees you. He knows you. He made you. He designed you. And he says, I'm going to call them. I'm going to call my sister. I'm going to call John. I'm going to call Gary. I'm going to call Michelle. I'm going to draw them. Because I want to be known by them. I want to be known by them, and I will be. So you are counted in that great number. There's a lot of people in that club, but it's very exclusive. I'm going to tell you something right now. You know God. If you're hearing my voice here on the podcast or here in this room, the very fact that you have any interest in what I'm saying means that you know God. To whatever extent, to whatever degree, you know God because you wouldn't be here otherwise. So everything I just told you is not me trying to raise the bar of knowing God to where it's out of reach, because you already know God. You have God already, and you know him. The fact that you're here and you're still listening means that by his choosing, he has revealed himself to you one way or another. By coming here today, by tuning in online, if you're listening on the podcast, you demonstrate that he has chosen you and revealed himself to you. That's a blessing to me. There's nothing like that. I've got nothing better than that. I've got nothing better. That's the best thing that ever happened in my life, was the invitation of God. And I didn't even know it at the time. When I came to God, I just wanted to be free of alcohol. I just wanted to stop being a trash can. And someone said, hey, God's waiting by the phone. All you got to do is call on him. And when I did, that was the beginning of freedom. That was the beginning of a 35, 36-year journey now. Knowing God is evidenced by the fact that you love God even a little. You could not do that unless he first loved you. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. That little bit of love, or that great big vat of love that you have for God, it's evidence that you know him. Knowing God is evidenced by the fact that you can trust him to whatever degree. Perfectly, imperfectly, the fact that you trust him at all is that you know him. Knowing God is evidenced by the fact that you're able to persevere in a hard time. You know God when you can get through that fire and come out the other side. It may not have been pretty. There might have been a few words. There might have been a little bit of complaining, but you got through that fire because you know God. It's because you've seen too much to not believe. I see everybody in here. We're kind of a mature crowd. I can safely say that you've seen too much to not believe. Knowing God generates hope. Knowing God generates faith. That seed that he planted in you is a hope generator. That faith in you is generating more faith. Knowing God is evidenced by the fact that you know yourself. You know who you are. See, we're in the process of learning who we are. But the amount of God that you have is due, the amount that you know of yourself in the kingdom is due to the fact that you know God. You're learning. We're learning who we are, that we can take authority over the enemy, that we can pray and believe and see things happen. You're learning more and more who you are. You're learning more and more what your purpose is. Well, what's my purpose? Well, you know what? You're closer to it today than you were yesterday. If you don't feel like you found it, don't be deceived. You may already be in it. And that's what I want to say, is that you're already in it. You just haven't defined it. It hasn't been spelled out. It's not on a marquee somewhere. saying Pastor so-and-so preaching here tonight. There's so many roles in the kingdom. There are as many roles in the kingdom as there are kingdom people. You're learning more and more about where you belong. Knowing your Father helps you to know where you belong. When we were kids, people would say, "Is that little Stevie? My, how big you've gotten. You must be 4 foot tall by now." I'm looking at you, it's like looking at your daddy. They would say other things like, "The apple doesn't fall far from the tree." We're known by who begets us. All I knew is I was made in the image of Tom McGarry. And that's all everybody else knew. There goes little Stevie, Tom's boy. There he goes. Get him out of that tree. That was my identity. I was a McGarry. I was Kevin's little brother. Right? The difference today is I know who I really am. I know where I belong. I know I'm redeemed from the law of sin and death. I know that I've been empowered to live holy. I know that my filthy rags have been exchanged for kingdom robes. I know that I've been handed the only life that matters, eternal life. As we learn to know God and we connect with God and we encounter God, we are reminded every day who we are. He didn't call us so that we would be blind servants plodding along to fulfill his demands. He wants us to grow in love and wisdom and combine his strength with ours, and combine his faith with ours, combine his hope so that we can multiply the family business. If you didn't know you were in business, you do now. He didn't choose us so we could be hidden away behind the curtain, passive, doing Martha things, Martha's way. He chose us to be Mary's, the one whose first instinct is to be with him. We resemble the Father and the Son. That's evidence that we know him. So I'm not here to give you a formula on how to know God. You already have that. You pray, you seek his face. God's been in charge of how much you know from the first day. He's been in charge of how much he reveals. You're in charge of going after it. I'm in charge of going after it. I'm in charge of seeking it. I'm in charge of getting my tushy off the couch and in before him. Yeah. He's in charge of the revelation, and he meets us there grandly in marvelous ways. We share it with each other, and we're nourished by it. We're nourished by the fact that he wants us to know him. Like I said earlier, he hasn't gone through all of this. He hasn't extended himself this far so that he wouldn't pick up the phone when you call. He's the one who initiated it. He's an initiator. I called him earlier, he's an instigator. He's an initiator. He takes the initiative. That's why you're here. It wasn't because it was a good idea. It's because he took the initiative and planted himself in you. By your permission, of course, but he planted himself in you, and he's been growing in there ever since. It's our privilege to respond. If that's what he wants, I want it too. Father, I thank you for the prayers that went out, all the trust that's gone up your way, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed these people with believing hearts, that, God, they will see God. They will see the fruit of their prayers. And right now, God, I thank you for all of these people, God, knowing you. Here and on the podcast, that they are listening only because they know you. Only because they have come to know you even more. God, we pray you prosper that relationship. Begin speaking again and again and again. We ask you to multiply the encounters, God, because the times are short. We've been at this for a long time, God. Thank you that none of it is in vain, that the work of the Lord is never in vain. And God, thank you that you move and you have your way, God. You meet us face to face, God, heart to heart, Lord, to where we see into you and you see into me, where you can call us friends. We are your friends, God. We don't just look to ourselves. We look to what you want, God. We look to what you desire, your passion. We see it as you work in other people, God. Have your way. And I ask that you seal this, Lord God, that, Lord, that people that have heard my voice today, God, they would know that you want them to know you. In Jesus' name, amen.